Roland was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Show. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for tuning in to episode number 33 of the Handgun World Show, and I want to let you know if you hear some background noise in advance, it's because I'm bringing you this episode while I'm driving in my vehicle. I'm doing the car thing again. I log about 45,000 miles a year. My primary job is I am a salesperson, and I travel two states. I cover Texas and Oklahoma for an electronics company, and of course, as I mentioned to you before, I'm just a private citizen. I am not ex-law enforcement, I'm not ex-military, just a private citizen that believes very strongly in self-defense, strongly in my Second Amendment rights. I carry a gun every day for protection. I have had my license nearly 5 years, and it's just my passion, it's my hobby. This is not a full-time job, it's just something that I do on the side. But I want to let you know that as I drive down the freeway eating my pork skins and drinking water, don't worry, I won't eat my pork skins while I'm trying to dictate this podcast, but yes, I do junk food from time to time. You can't help it, you know, when you're doing this much driving. I mean, you know, come on. I managed to keep the weight off and try to stay in shape, though. I don't abuse that kind of stuff. Gets awful tempting. But anyway, that's why you might hear the background noise, and again, welcome to episode number 33. And as you noticed from the title of this show, how many handguns do you need? Isn't that an interesting question? It's a big risk I'm going to take by trying to answer this question. And, you know, I've learned in being in sales for a living that you have to take risks sometimes to be successful in life. And so I'm going to take risk on this show here. I'm going to answer a risky question. How many guns do you need? Because, boy, I tell you, you could probably have 1,000 different answers from 1,000 different people on that. And I'm going to share some ideas with you. I'm going to let you decide how many handguns you need. How's that for a cop-out, huh? I'm not going to try to answer, but I am going to give you some biased opinions. You would have to expect that from me because it's my show. But ultimately, you get to be the judge. Now, I know that there are people who listen to this show from other countries. In fact, I've been emailed by people from other countries listening to this show that aren't even allowed to own guns in their countries, but they listen to this show anyway. And I'm, you know what, thank you to all of you out there who live either in states in the United States where you can't carry a gun all the time, or if you live in a country where you can't even own one. It's such a shame. But I know that that exists out there. The world is what it is. So thank you for tuning in to this show. Obviously, there's a reason. Perhaps maybe gun ownership might be in your future, or it's just something you're interested in. And hey, we all have the right to listen to what we're interested in. So as I attempt to answer this question, for most of the people who live in areas where you can carry and own handguns, here we go. Let's dive into it. The question of how many guns do you need is actually one that I kind of despise that question. I don't like it. But I thought it would make for a good show topic, and I've seen it plastered all over the internet everywhere. There's all kinds of people. And you know what? You know who usually posts that question? You know, how many guns do you need? Usually it's the gun grabbers. Really, it's the anti-gun type people. You know, I mean, it's kind of a dishonest, underhanded, and cowardly way to say, oh, you're some kind of a paranoid freak, right? And you shouldn't be having all those guns. You're unsafe. You're not to be trusted. And you know what's even worse is when people like that pose that question. You know what happens if you answer the question, how many guns do you need? And they're that kind of a person that's trying to rope you into giving them some kind of an answer that they want to hear. Then you're acknowledged that you're some kind of a weirdo. And basically you're playing into their view that need is a legitimate criteria that they can use to limit the number of guns you own. I'll say that again. If you play into that, at least to the gun grabber types, You're actually feeding them ammo, no pun intended, that they can use to start creating the limits. And let them, they try to decide what you need. See, I believe true freedom is where nobody else can decide what you need. You decide on your own what you want to have. And the problem is then the gun grabbers start, for them it becomes more of a question of who decides what the correct quantity is. And then here's where it really gets bad. Once other people start deciding what is the quantity of gun that you, you know, how many guns can you own, then you can bet that those same gun grabbers are going to be certain that they're also going to decide who owns guns. Not just how many, but who. And the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States does not define who gets to own guns. For those of you outside of the United States, or even for those of you who may not have spent much time studying the Constitution, the people who wrote it did not define who gets to own guns. All they said was the people, the right of the people to bear arms. So I guess there is a small definition there. The people. It doesn't even define the age limit. Have you ever thought about that? It just says the people. Okay? But however, let me give you a little bit better definition. Let me let you know about an internet post that I saw. One guy tried to answer the question, how many handguns do you need? He writes, well, if you're talking about self-defense, he said you need to have 4 handguns. And this is what he said. He said you need to have 4 similar handguns to the one that is your favorite. He said one to carry, one to keep in the safe at home, and I'll explain to you my view on that. He says another one to keep at the gunsmith. I might take exception to that, but I'll carry on with what he said. And he said one to keep off of your property. Now, that might not be a bad idea. And he also says you may want to consider a 5th as a training pistol. Now, you might say, gosh, that's excessive, man. 5 guns or 4 guns. Well, let me give you some of my thoughts on that. One to carry. You know, it's a well-known fact, folks. If you have to defend yourself and you have to use your firearm, there is a very, very good chance that law enforcement will confiscate your gun, even if you were justified in using it. So that brings me to say that I definitely think you have to have at least 2 handguns that are very similar to each other. Whatever one that you like to carry, it's a well thought to be a good idea to get a second one. Because if you're carrying it and you have to use it, and if it's confiscated and it's the only one you own, now you're left without a handgun to defend yourself. It's probably going to be confiscated, and you may never get that pistol back. So that's an argument for a second one. Now, this internet poster says one at the gunsmith. Well, I'll take exception to that one. If you buy a good, reliable gun and you've got 2 of them, I don't think you're going to have to keep one at the gunsmith all the time, especially if you buy a good, solid, reliable gun and buy some extra parts. You've heard me talk many, many times on this show. Have extras of the common parts of your gun and know how to replace them. That's key. So I'm going to scratch that one. I don't think you need to keep one at the gunsmith. Now, this is interesting. He says keep one off of your property. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I promise not to get paranoid on you because this is a practical show. I believe this is one of the more practical gun shows that are on the internet right now. I try to keep this, you know, pretty common sense. But keeping one off of your property, in other words, if you have a storage unit or if you have a real trusted friend or trusted relative, I'm a little bit leery about that. But I would say if you have a storage unit or if you have someplace off of your property where you can keep one, probably not loaded, unloaded, but with ammo close by and everything locked up in a safe, of course, it's not a bad idea. I mean, what if it got to a situation where there was a search for your guns or a confiscation of your guns? Again, I don't want to get into paranoid thinking here. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that there could be some kind of a martial law, or there could be some kind of an event that would occur that would motivate law enforcement to start going out and grabbing people's guns. Now, I hate to think about the fact, especially here in the United States, and especially some of the states here that are very friendly to gun laws, I hate to think that that would happen. But it could. And keeping one off of your property when they come to search your property, obviously, even if they take everything you have, guess what? You've got one more that's off your property that nobody knows where it is. Not a bad idea. Now, I know the emails are going to come flooding in. Watch this, right? Maybe by the next podcast that I do, people are going to start calling me some kind of a crazy nut. They're going to call me some kind of a warmonger, fight monger, or some kind of militia promoter or something, because I'm advocating that citizens hide guns. Well, so be it. I told you I'm taking a risk with this show. So if I start getting those kinds of emails slamming me and stuff, well, I guess I'll just have to deal with it. I'll get creative and figure out a way to deal with that. But that's not a bad idea from the guy that posted that on the internet. Now, as he says, a fifth gun for a training gun? Nah, I don't know about that, because you should be training with what you carry. And who's got the budget, really? I mean, I have five handguns. I've paid cash for every single one of them, and I've saved money. And because of some good financial practices of becoming debt-free, let me take a side note here. Let me get off of guns for a couple of minutes. A little over 4 years ago, my wife and I decided we wanted to pay off all of our debt. So we got on the Dave Ramsey Total Money Makeover Program, and we did, in fact, pay off all of our debt except for the home that we were living in. And we've been able to save some money, and so now I pay cash for nearly everything. Nearly everything, I'm paying cash. And so my firearms purchases, I've not put them on credit. So, and I've been very careful to buy them at times only when I can afford them. Sometimes we get too carried away with gun purchases, and they become emotional purchases. Be careful of that, folks. So I do own. In fact, I own exactly five handguns. But do you need them? The question I'm trying to answer here is, do you need five handguns? Nah, I don't. I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say that's a little excessive. I don't think you need a fifth one for training. I think you should be training with the ones that you carry. So if you've got a carry gun and you've got a backup to your carry gun, be training with those the most. You should be training with everything you have. So I don't think you really need to have an extra gun as a training gun. To me, that kind of implies that you're not going to train with what you carry. And I would say that's the opposite of what I promote. I promote training with what you carry. Okay, I got another point I want to mention here, but hang on. Give me about 20 seconds. As I mentioned, I'm driving. I got to maneuver out of a traffic situation here. Okay. Good, I'm safe. Not going to have an accident while I'm bringing you this podcast. Although I got to tell you, it's snowing in Texas. Now I've moved from rain to snow. Interesting. February 10th, folks. Snowing. So much for global warming. All right, let me share something with you. This may upset you, especially those of you who have been who are real, you know, proponents of gun ownership. This is from the Los Angeles Times. Can you believe it? The LA Times. Now, let me ask you in advance, what kind of a stance do you think that the LA Times is going to take on gun ownership? Let me read part of this to you here the best I can. It says the principle is clear. It says no law-abiding resident could possibly need to buy more than one handgun per month. A lot of states have restrictions, only one handgun per month. Police records on weapons used in crimes indicate that most so-called bulk handgun purchases are made on behalf of thugs who can't legally buy guns on their own. In most of California, incredibly, it is legal for any qualified buyer, one without a felony record or a mental disorder, to walk out of a gun shop with an unlimited number of handguns. Oh my God, we wouldn't want that to happen, would we? Last month, however, Los Angeles became the first California community to pass a limit similar to Knox's. Now, that's an old article. That article is about 10 years old, and what they're referring to when they say similar to Knox's is they're talking about a bill that was introduced by Assemblyman Wally Knox, Democrat from Los Angeles, and it's patterned after laws that already exist in Virginia and Maryland and South Carolina, where the restrictions are credited with reducing crime. Really? Really, huh? Somebody show me the evidence. Show me the hard, cold evidence, because I can show some evidence otherwise. Where limiting the number of handguns purchased in one buying session has reduced crime. Give me a break. Now, I'm always open to other opinions on this show, folks. I'm a very, very, very open-minded person. So if you can send me, if you can email me, you'll find my email on the main blog. Go to the contact page of handgunworld.com. Email me some good empirical evidence that shows that reducing the number of guns purchased at one time or limiting it to one a month has actually reduced crime in that state. Let's talk about Virginia and Maryland, and let's see, what else do they mention here? South Carolina. Virginia and South Carolina especially, I'll bet you their crime has gone down because they're allowing concealed carry. And I bet you that's the biggest reason why their crime has gone down. In fact, in most states where concealed carry is now a shall issue matter, that means that the state has the right to... the state must issue it to you. In other words, they shall issue you. If you meet the qualifications, it means that they shall. It means that the state is obligated to give you a license if you meet the basic qualifications, which generally means no felony record and pass the state-approved test, shooting test, and written test. There are also may-issue states, and some of them are kind of a joke. One listener emailed me and says he travels to Maryland a lot, and he said Maryland is a may issue state, and the authorities are so discriminating they get to decide, and their criteria is so narrow for issuing concealed carry permits that it might as well be a non-issue state. And you know, that's not fair. I mean, that's just totally, completely, 100% against our constitutional rights. And you know what, folks, you could make an argument, I'm not an attorney here, so if somebody wants to blow holes in this, go ahead. Again, I'm open-minded. But you could make an argument that under, I believe, the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, that people have to be treated fairly, pretty much. You know, people pretty much have to be, you know, the laws have to apply equally to everybody. I'm pretty sure that's the 14th Amendment. You know, one state requiring different restrictions for concealed carry versus another, you could make a really good argument, folks, that's unconstitutional. And I've mentioned before, I didn't really agree with this when I first heard Ted Nugent say it. But the more I think about it, the more I'm agreeing with it. You know, he says the Second Amendment is my concealed carry permit. Now, that might sound extreme, but, you know, that Second Amendment's pretty clear, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty clear. The right of the people. But what really bothers me is, okay, we've got different states making different laws. So be it. That's what we have. We have different states making different laws. So I guess we got to live with that. But I think it's unfair when a state says, okay, we're going to have concealed carry, but we're going to decide who carries. I think they should be forced to say, make a decision one way or another. Okay, state legislature, you decide. You're either going to allow concealed carry or you're not. It's a yes or no. It needs to be a yes or no question. Either you're going to step up to the plate and you're going to allow citizens to carry in your state, or you're not. I don't think that a state should be given the right to say, well, yeah, we want to let them carry, but we're going to leave it up to the local sheriff or the mayor of the town or somebody like that to decide who really is fit to be carrying a gun. That's bogus. I just think that's bogus. One way or another, folks, you can't have it both ways. Which way do you want it? You either allow it or you don't. That's my humble opinion. That's the way it should be set up. And again, you know, if we're going to do the unconstitutional thing of requiring people to have a license, then let's make it consistent, okay? That's all I'm saying is let's make the rules consistent. Okay. Now, let me just pause here for about another 15 seconds. Man, the snow is coming down, folks. I got to back my speed off here. You might hear my GPS yakking at me in the background, too. Sorry about that. I got to reduce my speed. The snow is coming down faster. Don't worry, folks. I will be safe. I will not get into an accident bringing you episode number 33, but I do have to continue my quest to get home, and the business calls have slowed down, so I'm talking about how many guns do you need? Okay. Handguns. I want to give you a couple of things to think about. Just some personal opinions here. I think you need one defensive handgun, and I really would urge you to strongly consider having a survival handgun. I'll explain the difference. A defensive handgun typically is going to be a smaller one for a lot of people because it's easier to carry. In one of my other podcasts, I talked about survival handguns. Remember that? If you hadn't had a chance to listen to it, go back and listen. I'm right off the top of my head, I can't remember what episode number that was. But a survival handgun is typically something that you could hunt with if you have to. Now, a handgun, obviously, everybody knows, is not the optimal gun to hunt with, but a lot of people do it pretty successfully. And it takes practice. It's an art. But also a survival handgun is something that you could go out and hunt with. A .357 Magnum revolver, for example. A good 6-shot, 4-inch, maybe 6-inch barrel .357 Magnum that you can put 38 specials in. Maybe a .44 Magnum if you can handle it. Okay? Another good survival handgun is a .22 pistol. A Ruger. A Ruger Mark III. They make hunting versions of that pistol with a little bit longer barrel than normal and hunting type sights with a fiber optic front sight. Okay? Made for taking small game. You know, you might find yourself in a situation where you can't carry a rifle or you can't carry a shotgun. Maybe for portability purposes, it's just simply impractical. What if you like to hike? What if you're the outdoors type? I might have a lot of outdoors type people listening to this show. And, you know, you can't carry a shotgun in your backpack. You can't carry a rifle in your backpack. But you can carry a good survival handgun. Something that you could defend yourself with if you needed to. You can also shoot some game with it. I've talked to backpackers that take a .22 and a .357 Magnum. The .357 Magnum for more heavy work, larger game, and some defensive shooting if you have to, and the .22 for smaller game. So there's a big difference between a defensive handgun. A true defensive-only handgun would be like my Car Arms PM9 or the Car Arms P380 or even my Glock 26. Those might not be very good survival handguns, but boy, they sure are excellent self-defense handguns because they're portable, and I have one of those three with me all the time. Survival handgun you may not have with you all the time, but it's in close proximity. You can get to your survival gun easily. All right, so think about that. So if you're budgeting and you're thinking, all right, well, you know, maybe I can only afford two guns. Get one defensive with lots of extra parts, know how to change them. And I really like revolvers for survival guns. I really do, especially for larger caliber. And even a .22 revolver makes some pretty good sense, too. All right, revolvers are just so rugged. They're so durable. Usually in a survival situation, you might not need more than 6 shots, okay? I mean, if you're hunting, you're typically are not going to need more than 6 shots, I don't think. Just personal opinion, you might have a hard time getting 6 shots off at some game animal. Now, self-defense, yeah, I if you can have more than 6 rounds, absolutely. I'm a huge proponent of that. That's no secret. Just listen to some of my other shows, and I talk about that. But I really like revolvers, and I sure like those Rugers for hunting and survival means. So if you're budgeting, consider one of each of those. And you know those revolvers are not expensive. I mean, if you shop around and you really know what you're looking for, you can get a good used revolver, a good quality used revolver for less than a few hundred dollars. So it's not that expensive to budget for a good survival gun also. Now, Are there crossover guns? Some people might wonder, well, are there crossover guns that'll serve both as a defensive handgun and a survival handgun? Sure, there are, but I've always taken the belief that every gun kind of fits a certain niche. Okay, it's either going to be really good for carrying, or it's going to be really good for target shooting, or it's going to be really good for hunting if you have to use it that way in survival. There's not really a one gun fits all situation. And I tell you what, now this snowstorm here on Interstate 35, boy, it's got traffic backed up. It's going to take me forever to get home. But don't worry, I won't let this podcast run on any longer than I have to. But this is quite a unique situation. Hopefully I don't have to pull off the road and pull out my survival handgun. Anyway, I think there's no real gun that one size or one gun does everything. Be wary of thinking I can get the one magical gun that's going to do everything for me. And that's why if you're going to be serious about handgun ownership, responsible handgun ownership, folks, I don't advocate anything but safe, good, responsible handgun ownership. All right, can I sidetrack a little bit here and can I say, folks, please be responsible. You know, nothing's going to hurt the gun-owning cause more than people being irresponsible and reckless with their guns. That just gives something for the gun haters to focus on. It gives them something to talk about. It gives them something to go, see, I told you, you shouldn't be owning guns because you people are too irresponsible. Be responsible, folks. Keep your fingers off the triggers until you're ready to shoot something. If you're sitting down to clean your gun, double check, triple check that it's an unloaded pistol. Don't let pistols get into the hands of people that don't have any business handling them. Okay? Gun-proof your kids. Don't kid-proof your guns. Gun-proof your kids. In other words, educate them. Teach them about safety. Teach them about how dangerous these weapons are. They need to know that these are not toys. These are not something to fool around with. Kids need to know a gun is a devastating, lethal tool, and it must be handled responsibly. And you know what, folks? Kids look to their parents for their gun views. They do. I'm serious. If you don't believe me, just talk to some people and ask some questions. Kids mimic what their parents think about guns. Most of the time. So be a responsible parent when it comes to firearms and children. And of course, it's going to force you to be responsible too. Don't give the gun haters some ammunition, no pun intended, to beat us over the head with. Okay? Okay, another point that I want to make about how many guns do you need to own? Ask yourself, how many shooters are there in the family? How many potential shooters. If you're a man listening to this podcast, if you have a girlfriend or you have a significant other, is she interested in shooting? Is she interested in self-defense? If the answer is yes, well, then two guns. You might be a two-gun family. One for you to be carrying all the time, and one for her to get to know, to learn how to shoot, and to get good training on how to use it. If you're a single person, that may not apply. If you have kids that you want to get into shooting, if you're in the shooting sports like I am, okay, well, I have multiple guns, and one of the reasons why I have multiple handguns is I'm into the shooting sports. I'm into IDPA competition. I like USPSA, United States Practical Shooting Association competitions. So I have a couple of handguns that are strictly dedicated to competition purposes. All right. So if you are a sports shooter, there's a lot of cowboy action shooters that have special cowboy guns. You probably won't see them carrying those cowboy guns on their belt very much every day while they're out and about going about their daily lives. They probably have a defensive handgun on them. But they own those for sport. So let's not forget, shooting is a sport. And so to all you gun haters out there, you want to take a sport away from us? You want to deny Americans and gun lovers from other countries? You want to deny them the sport of doing this? It's a lot of fun. You know, if you're going to take guns away from people who like to engage in sporting activities, then why don't you take the helmets and the footballs away from football players? All right, why don't you take the hockey sticks away from hockey players? Those are lethal, too. You ever been to a professional hockey game? Hockey players' hockey sticks are pretty lethal, folks, I'm telling you. So are their skates. All right, gun grabbers, you going to grab their hockey sticks and grab their skates? Okay, don't take away the instruments of someone's sport. So consider how many shooters there are in your family. Now, one last point I want to make before I close this show. I have heard of people, married couples, that will own two of the same gun. And, you know, for example, if it's... Oh, let me just pick a gun out of the air. Let's use 1911s, all right? Let's say 4-inch 1911s, all right? And husband and wife each own one. And a lot of them make the case for owning the same gun, the exact same gun. And some of the cases that they make for that is that if husband and wife, for example, own the same gun, you have interchangeable parts. Aha! Yes, you do. And they say, well, you can economize on ammo because you can buy ammo in bulk. You can get discount prices. And because both of you are shooting the same gun, that it's easier to save money. Excuse me for a minute. Okay, sorry, folks. That was a phone call I had to take. Anyway, economizing on ammo. So there, you know, that's something to be said for both people having at least the same caliber. And of course, every once in a while, if you're shopping for firearms and you go into a gun store and you offer to buy two or three at the same time, you may get the manager of the store to give you an extra discount because you're buying more than one. If you live in one of those states that lets you buy more than one at a time. All right. Anyway, so there's some good arguments for owning the same gun, husband and wife, you know, or brother and sister, or whatever. Whatever your family situation is, some good arguments for that. And on a personal note, I will tell you that my wife is starting to take a liking to my little Glock 26. And, of course, my Glock 19 is my favorite gun, but the Glock 26 gets carried a lot just because it's a little smaller. And I'm starting to learn to shoot just as good with my Glock 26 as I am with my Glock 19. But she's taking a liking to it just because of the size of it. So, might justify another purchase for me. I mean, I might have to replace the Glock 26 that she takes away from me, right? I thought you might get a kick out of that. All right, that's all I wanted to say about how many guns do you need? You know, there's a big difference between needs and wants, and as I close, big difference between needs and wants. I'll just say this, I think that Americans should be able to buy whatever they want. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. This is episode number 33 of the Handgun World Show, and I hope I did a fairly good job of trying to give you some information for you to decide. Is this a defensive gun? Is it a survival gun? Do you and your spouse or significant other want to have the same type of gun to economize? Or, you know, is this a gun that you're going to be training your kid to shoot on and what have you? So thanks for tuning in. Why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Thanks for listening, folks. Catch you next time. Bye-bye. In Palestine and Berkeley.